Father, we desire your glory to be caught in the measure of your presence. Father, to be caught in that presence and in that measure of your anointing. Father, we yearn and we open our heart. Father, the double-leaf door of our ribcage, Father, we open it, Lord, to your presence today. Lord, we expose our being and who we are, Father, to you today. Father, I have a desire for a relationship, I have a desire to connect with you, Lord. We say, here we are, Father. Here we are in your presence. Lord, we open our heart. We open the garden of our heart. We open the dance floor. We open the bridal chamber. We open the soaking room of your presence. Lord, we open our heart today, Father, for your glory to come and fill. Father, we open it to you today. And we present ourselves, Father, as your bride. We present ourselves as your bride, Lord. Lord, as your bride. Lord, come and sit. Come and dwell in this temple. Not made with the hands of man, but Father, made by your Spirit and your kingdom. Lord, here is my inner being exposed to your presence. Father, we welcome you to come and dance with us, Lord. To be entwined about your presence and to be engaged in your beauty, to be lost in the abandonment of your arms, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you that you are a God that can be worshipped. Father, your word says that we were to have no other gods beside you. And Father, today we would choose to shed everything that has ever been an idol, that you'd become the object of our desire. Father, you'd become the object of our desire. Father, your word says, Enoki Elohim, Yahweh. Lord, we acknowledge that you are the Lord, our God. We acknowledge you are the Lord, our God. We acknowledge that to the spirit world and to the kingdom realms. We acknowledge Enoki Elohim, Yahweh. Lord, we acknowledge you are Lord. 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 Again, I really love it if you can just stretch your right arm out and put on the shoulder of the person next to you. Hallelujah, Father. Just link up with someone, link up and stretch it out to say, just try and link all together if you can. If you're afraid of moving from your seat, then move from your seat. Get a bit bigger than standing in your seat. Father, today we speak and release the presence of the Lord, our God, in and around the atmosphere of the life, the person that we stand beside today. Father, we ask for the best of your desire for them to manifest in their life. Father, we ask for the scroll and the mandate of their life to be brought out into the courtroom of heaven. Lord, the scroll that you wrote before the foundations of the earth, before the worlds were even formed, you wrote a destiny. And Lord, we ask that tonight, that this scroll of this person we have our hands on tonight, Father, would be brought into the courtrooms and your desire for them will be read in the courts of heaven. That upon that, the winds of the Spirit, the whirlwinds, the lightnings of God would go forth with the decrees of the Lord about their life. And Father, that out of that abundance of the kingdom realm, would come the reign of your presence and the desire of God into and around our lives to influence all that we do, Father. Lord, today we desire your purpose in this day. We desire to fulfill your covenant that you wrote for us in agreement where we declared you are the Lord our God. Lord, we receive that from you tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, worship team. Hallelujah. Praise God. As a visiting speaker, I really want to honor you and Clive today just for your willingness to have me come down, and because it is like I'm not the normal stream of most guest speakers. And so I really want to honor you today for taking a chance on me. And I know that there is repercussions in the spirit. And yeah, I think it would be really good if we honor you today. You just want to stand up. Just we want to honor you today. Hallelujah. If I could just have you just stand there for me. Just face me, go across a bit, now go back a step, please. Another, yeah, that's cool. Stand there. Have some people standing behind them, please. As a guest speaker, I kind of have the capacity and the mandate to do what I like when I've got the microphone, sort of. And I know sometimes that, yeah, you can sit down, thank you. I know sometimes that when a visiting speaker comes into a house, I know this isn't your church, but actually this is the church because it's about the bride. It's not about a place of gathering. It's just a sheep shed where the pastors do what they got to do with the sheep, you know, and that's a good thing. But I know that God has a mandate on you for the city because of your desire to hold the door open and the price that you paid, particularly being an apostolic woman in the governmental arena of the kingdom as a son. And so the same way as I've struggled with trying to be a bride, I know that you've struggled with trying to be a son. And so we have a mutual problem. Yeah, hallelujah. And so I just really want to honor you two today for this. And as the conference has gone on, the Lord has begun to lay some stuff on my heart for you that very shortly there's going to come a real rattling inside your church, because there's a corner God's going to take you around that's actually going to begin to manifest his presence. A church isn't actually a place you're supposed to gather. What a church is originally designed for was to hold and house a gate to the presence of the Lord. That's what a church is about. And what I began to feel, what I felt the Lord begin to speak to me about was that your house is going to be known as a gateway to heaven. And so, now I don't say this lightly, because there's a price behind it. And the spirit world has resisted you standing in the role that you both have stood in, because it's not just your wife, it's you as well, because you're together in all this stuff and what the Holy Ghost is doing. But the Lord's going to open up a gate, and he's going to give you a gate. And very soon, it's like you're going to walk into church one day, and everything's going to be different. And suddenly you'll find that actually won't be a struggle anymore to engage the kingdom realm, because the gate will be there. And God's going to give you a gate. And it won't be a gate of a location. It'll be a gate that will follow you because of who you are. It'll be your gate that God will manifest as you take your place as a son and daughter in the authority in the throne rooms of God. And so today it's my privilege to be able to pray for you. I'm not going to actually lay hands on you, because I don't want to do that, because I know that God wants to do stuff inside of you. He can do it himself. He's big enough. He can reach down and do what he wants. And so I just would like you folks out there just to stretch your hands out towards him today. Father, I want to thank you for this couple. Father, today I reach in as a king and I speak right into the everlasting door that has been laid down, that has been destined to be under their government and under their dominion. Father, today your word says, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be lifted up, you everlasting doors, today. As these two gates have lifted up their heads to behold the bridegroom. Today, Lord, I take the mandate of that gate and I speak to the everlasting door, the place of the entry of the person of God into this arena of the earth. Father, I speak in Jesus' name to the cherub that hold that gate, that the ark of the name of God would be established
upon that place in the name of Jesus, that fissure that is needed in the supernatural world would begin to open for these two. That, Lord, the ark, that light of the glory that would go from wing to wing of the cherubim would begin to open up for these two in the name of Jesus. Father, today I stand and I speak it today. Father, I speak it. For it is written that it is a king's job to decree such a thing. And I speak it today. Father, I make room and space. Father, in this city. Lord, I reach in the spirit. And I make room and space for the gate of the Lord to stand in the city. Father, around these two, that room and space will be made. Father, the spirit world will be in terror because of the hand of God in Jesus' name. Yeshua, Lord, let your glory, Father, come over these two. Lord, let that gate begin to open. I stand as a gatekeeper, and I speak into it today, Father, that it would open, and that the portal of heaven would begin to govern, Father, in this city, as they stand, Father, together, in unity, desiring your purpose, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Oh. Hallelujah. Very happy. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. You know, one of the key things that we can do is we can change an atmosphere. And when you stand in the role that God's given you, then you can, you know, you can certainly see what God does to bring change in the life of people. And, you know, when God's working in the lives of people, he does quite specific things to them to bring them to a point where they can go into a deeper relational engagement and connection with him. And I know it's God's desire to do that with all of us, that out of our brokenness and out of the places that we have struggled, that his kingdom would be established and we would find the root of Jesse sitting inside of us, the seed of the lion of the tribe of Judah, resident inside of us, that out of that place would come a flow of river of the glory that would touch the world around us. It's God's desire to do that. And, you know, I've had the privilege of walking with somebody and kind of seeing. Now, she is going to probably manifest because I'm going to do this, but I don't really care because I've got the microphone. And so I've had the privilege of watching somebody walk through a cycle in their life to come to a point where there's a need now for a father's blessing on her life. And today I'm going to do that for her publicly because I think that it's very important for a person to actually receive that and to for you to see that you don't have to actually be a roaring lion to administer a father's blessing. And that as you stand before the Lord and you grow into maturity, that you can speak words of life that release the mandate of God into a person's life. And so Paula, I would really love you to come up here, my sister, and stand here for me. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, you won't manifest as far as I'm concerned, but just go back a bit. Yeah, hallelujah. Just go back. Could somebody stand behind her, please? Thank you, Father. Paula, I want you to look at me for a minute. I want to stand as a father. And from a father's governmental arena and from the role of a father, even with my own family and the way I called my own children into their maturity and through their brokenness and through the things that they've walked through, today I stand as a father and I call you as a woman and as a daughter of Zion to come up into the hands of the Lord, of the Father. I command you to stand and I command your spirit to begin to stand up in the presence of the Lord as a daughter of Zion, to receive the hand of the Lord in a fresh way upon your life. God has set you apart. The Father has set you apart for a purpose of being a handmaiden unto him in the courts of the Lord. You've gone through this place of brokenness so that there is nothing left inside of you that the enemy could have a foothold because of what he wants to do through your life, in your life, to your life, and around your life. That as a father, I can stand, I can see these circles within a circle that God is going to establish around you. And there's a whole angelic realm that the Lord is going to open up to you in the realm of the spirit, that as you engage him, you're going to find that it's going to be released greater and greater and greater measure There are living creatures that have been waiting. There are angels called watchers that have been purposely sent. And there's two of them that are going to be with you from this time forward. No longer will you have to fight on the level you fought with, because they are going to watch over the seed that is within you to ensure its covering, to ensure its protection, and to ensure that the mandate is going to be fulfilled in your life. And as you find that God's going to do that for you, you're going to find that things are going to change in the atmosphere. And you'll walk in and you will know what's going on in the spirit. It's like you will see it, and they will look and they'll go, yes, this is the Father's desire. And everything that is there will back off. Because when a watcher speaks, the watcher comes out of the hand of the voice of God. And so today, as the daughter, I speak to you and I release you to become the woman and the handmaiden and the servant that the Father's called you to be in his household. I call you into the arena of intimacy with the presence of the Lord that is desired for your life, to be one with him. It is written, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. And today I decree that into you, that you'll be joined with the Lord and you will know what it is to become one spirit with his presence. Not out of a place of all the brokenness, but out of a place of abundance and life. And today, as a father, I bestow upon you the blessing that the Lord would overshadow your life, and you will know what it is to carry and bring to birth many, many sons and many, many daughters for the sake of the kingdom of God. And God's going to bring to you the joy that you once had, but in a greater measure, because in your mourning, he's going to give you the oil of joy. And so today, I want to take your hands. Today, as a father, I bless you with the knowledge of the realm of the kingdom of heaven. I bless you with the intimacy that the Father has given me. I bless your life with today. I bless you and call you into the arena of the kingdom to stand beside him when he's crying, to walk beside him when he needs company as a handmaiden unto the Lord, reserved for those who would walk in intimacy with him. I bless you with the knowledge of how to in the courtrooms of God, of how to approach him, what to do and when to do. I bless you with that spiritual knowledge that God has given me, that through the arena of his kingdom, you would participate in the things of heaven. And you'd come to know what it is to be called the handmaiden of the Lord that walks in the courtrooms of God. Father, today, Lord, just release your spirit. And Lord, release your kingdom, Father of our life. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pretty full. Pretty full. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. Hey, yeah. Get my eyeballs back here. Thank you, Jesus. Sometimes it needs a willful act to get my eyes out of that arena, because I just love being there. And to come back here and actually do things that are necessary. And so, hallelujah. I've really enjoyed being with you folks. I know there's quite a number that have come and that have gone that are going to miss out on tonight, and that's their business. But I know that what I want to share with you tonight will change your life. This is something now that's probably been about a year old for me, and I've been working on it, and I've even gone into a deep arena of it now, and have quite an in-depth understanding from the realm of the kingdom and how God wants to remake us. And I want to share some of that with you tonight, because it's very important for the things that are coming, that we entangle ourselves about the destiny of God and his purpose for what he wants us to become. And there's some important things that can help us in this arena, and I want to share that. And we're going to have communion tonight, because everything I'm talking about is a communion. And I'm not going to be talking about it in the normal way where you celebrate his death, but I'm going to talk about the celebration of what he gave you in that arena of his body and blood that would actually change your life if you gave it the chance to. See, God has always, even from the very beginning, when the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the face of the deep, what God did was he called to remembrance the very thing that was birthed inside that place. He called it to remembrance, and the glory that was inside it, he spoke to it, and it said, let there be light. And so the whole thing of the record that was there, God brooded over till it came back into what it should have been before it came into a place of chaos and darkness. And so the same thing through Jesus. God has done that for us today. I had an entanglement with, not an entanglement, but an engagement and a spiritual experience where for the first time in my life, I saw the tabernacle intent of God come down out of the spirit world. And I saw one of these men of old that had been there, the sons of God, that came down, and it was a man that had a measuring reed in his hand, and he drew this line in front of me, and then the menorah came out of the spirit world and sat in front of this line, and then the tabernacle tent, like the foundation was built in the tabernacle tent, and then over the top of that came this tent and sat down on it. And I realized the terror that must have been on Israel's life when they saw the tabernacle tent of God come down, and the way that it spoke was it was a speaking tent. And there was a whole lot of things that I didn't know about that I found out later on from somebody who had knowledge in some of these things. And it blew my brains out of the water because we can go into that tent and begin to see the whole history of what has been, what is, and what is to come. And it fascinated me. And the Lord always puts a record somewhere of something that is vitally important that feel better, Paula. Hallelujah. And so I know God always does things that are in secret, that those who are hungry would knock and uncover them. And it's been a great pleasure for me to uncover some of these things. And I want to share some of that with you tonight, because I know that when you take communion from this time onwards, you will take it differently unless you're religious and go back to the old religious thing you've always done. And if you do, you always get what you've always got, usually, which is nothing. And so I want to share this with you tonight. And so let's just go into Scripture and let's just read it. So this is found in John 6, verse 43. Some of you may have heard me talk about this, but you won't have heard some of the stuff I'm going to talk about because I haven't talked about it before. I have in Africa, which you don't have the tapes here yet because they're still in Namibia. And so I want to kind of share this with you. It goes down, and this really starts in probably chapter 6, verse 43. And Jesus therefore answered and said to them, "Murmur not amongst yourself. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day." We're in the last day. "And it is written in the prophets, thou shalt be taught of God." Oh my. Isn't that amazing? I won't even go there. "Every man therefore that has heard and has learned of the Father comes to me." Very specific statement Jesus made there. That unless you've heard and learned of the Father, you can't come to Jesus as a friend. And the supply of what he has, you can't get access to unless you've heard of the Father. Interesting, isn't it? "Verily I say unto you, he that believes on me has everlasting life." Which means that when your spirit man gets regenerated, it's going to live forever. And not eternal life, not eternal life, but everlasting life. Which means that the realm of the God that lives inside of you is going to be everlasting. And the candle will never go out unless you choose to commit it to apostasy and stamp it out. I'm not talking about eternal life. It's talking everlasting life. Which means the fire of the manifestation of the glory of God within you is going to carry on for eternity. And all eternity will know who you are by that manifestation. And then it goes on here, "Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God." He has seen the Father. And people say to me, "Ian, you can't see God because, you know, it says all those things." Well, here it says that says not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God. And so let me ask you this question. If I have the DNA inside of my being of God, am I of God? So therefore I can see the Father. Kind of simple. Really, I don't think that's too hard so far. "Verily I say unto you, he that believes on me has everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. And this is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die." Whoa. Suddenly taking communion starts taking on a different timber, doesn't it? "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? You've got to understand that the Jews knew all about the human sacrifices that went on in their nation and the flesh-eating demons that were around through some of those sacrifices. They knew all about the blood stuff because of the god Pan and Molech and all those things that were there. They knew about human sacrifices. So when Jesus comes along now and starts talking about them eating his flesh, they got pretty offended. And, you know, whatever. Then Jesus said to them, verily I say to you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Wow. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And he that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me, and I in him. Oh, glory. As the living Father has sent me, I live by the Father. So he that eats me, even he shall live by me. So if we're living by Jesus and taking communion, then we're living by the Father. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, but he that eats of this bread shall live forever. Oh my goodness. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can bear it? Who can hear it? And Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it. He said to them, does this offend you? What if I say you shall see the Son of Man ascend or be lifted up or levitate up into the clouds where he was before? It is the spirit that quickens, the flesh profits nothing. And the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. And Jesus goes on there. Verse 65. And said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with Jesus. You know, there's a lot of little remezes inside the Bible. The Hebrews study the Bible differently than what we do. They don't kind of get the lexicon out and kind of go through all of that. They look for four things, and there's a rabbi would be able to display all those four things. It's called the Peshat, the Remez, the Des, and the Sud, or the way they would study. And it is amazing when you take those four symbols together and put them in the Hebrew language, it sounds like paradise. So we have this wonderful religious thing that says when the crook or whatever it was, the murderer stood beside Jesus or was hung on the cross beside Jesus, Jesus turns around and says to him, you know, today you will be with me in paradise. He wasn't talking about a place he was going to. He was saying to the thief that today you will see the full measure of the manifestation of who I am and you will behold it with your eye. And when you see it, you will be with me. And so what he's saying, you will find the Peshat, the Remez, the Des, and the fullness of the Sud. Only the rabbis could produce the Sud, which meant they could stand in the place of God and begin to make the law as if they were God. And there were only three people in Jesus, or two other people in Jesus' day, that had enough shmika to be able to produce and speak as if it were the words and the oracles of God. And one was Gamaliel, and the other was Hillel. And Jesus and Hillel and Gamaliel quoted each other. That's how they learned how to get a common ground about the doctrine of their belief system. And so here is Jesus now hanging on the cross and saying, today you will be in the fullness of the Peshat, the Remez, the Des, and the Sud. You will see the fullness of that manifested today in front of you, and you will be with me in it. Now to me, that is an amazing thing. Because it means that there are things that we need to understand in the Bible that release the life of God to us when we hang beside Him. I don't just mean on the cross. Now, and so in here you have a lovely little Remez. You know, it's amazing when a human, we are a threefold being. We have a body, a soul, and a spirit. Okay? So that's three-thirds. We have a three-third being. We are a three-third being. So when you have one of those three-thirds that is dead and not alive, which is the way a person who is an unbeliever is, then it's two-thirds. And so two-thirds in computer binomials is 666666. Okay? And so here we have this issue in John 6:66, where it says this, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And so often when God brings revelation, there are many that resist the revelation, and the greatest resistance comes from those who've lived out of the last revelation. And they depart from the way, and they don't walk with Him anymore, and they become a 666 in the body of Christ. And they wrestle as a beast against the truth of the revelation of what God is wanting to bring into the church today. And so we end up in this situation where the greatest resistance comes from those that have walked in the last thing. It's true. This is the way, this is our history. I'm just telling you history here. Even the things that God is doing today on the face of the earth, those that walked in the last revelation actually still want to live in the last revelation, and they reject the stuff that God's doing today because they don't want to be part of it, because they want to go back to what they've always had, and that was just lovely, whatever. I mean, whatever. I keep on saying whatever all the time. It's really bad. But I want to come back. That's not. I'm just throwing that in there for you, but I want to come back to some things here because it's very, very important for you and I to realize some things that what Jesus is saying here. Jesus made this amazing statement in verse 51. It says, "I am the living bread which comes down from heaven. If any man eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of this world." A little bit before that, Jesus also says this. Verse 7, "You hear that believes on me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. As your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, this is the bread which comes out of heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die." Now, I want to talk about this because this is a key issue to taking communion. Jesus gave us a record in the symbols of communion that He told us to participate in on a regular basis. He gave us the record of what the capacity was to be able to live forever. That symbol is known as a communion bread. Now, the communion bread doesn't turn to His body, as some religious sects believe. I don't go there and take Jesus' arm and eat his arm. I don't do that. I take something that is symbolic of what He gave so that my faith in the symbol can release a potential reality to become my own here today. And so Jesus gave me His body. In that body is the record and the potential record for me to live forever. The Bible says, "He that eats this bread shall not die." Now, does it mean that in some way, wonderful time in 400 years from now, when I'm still alive, that I'll never die? Yes, it does mean that. Because I want to live way beyond. Because I want to go to what I was or should have been before the fall. And the only way to get back there is taking the body. And so here is Jesus giving us a key in the Word so that when we take communion, it's actually not just about His death. It's about the remembrance of the record that He gave us to enable our spirit to come into resonance with that record so that it would begin to change who we are into the image of the record so that we could become the record. Now you're looking at me like, is this going over your head, or you're all getting this, or you're all, because you're all looking at me like this. I'm just quoting you scripture here. I'm putting some NIV into it, so it's all good. That's a new inversion. "Verily I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you." So now we wonder in our Christian walk, when we take communion once a month, why we have no life in us. He said, if you do this, you're going to have life. In fact, it's going to be a life that's going to be so explosive, it's going to begin to change you. And so he's saying, basically he's saying, do this as often as you want. I've been taking communion every day now since I got this revelation. I haven't got my hair growing back yet, but praise God, it's going to come. See, God wants us to understand that He has given us a record to engage. It has a different sound in the record because it has a different strand in the record. You know, two-thirds, you know, it's amazing how God works in threes. It's amazing how science has shown us a two-strand cord of DNA. Do you realize they've just discovered that there might be a beam of light going through the DNA that keeps it all together? Wow, I could have told them that years ago. There's some little lovely little scriptures that kind of dictate that kind of thing. That can be found in 1 John 5, verse 7. It says, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, these are one, and they bear record in heaven. And verse 8 says this, the Spirit, the water, and the blood bear witness on the earth, and these three agree in one. When God is talking about something coming to agreement, He's not talking about a two-strand cord. He's talking about a three-strand cord. The Bible says the three-strand cord is not easily broken. Why? Because it has a double mandate inside it. And either one can connect with either one. And so what Jesus has given us here is a record of the DNA of God. Jesus, in His body, in the symbols of the bread that we take, has given us a record to testify to our spirit that we can become something different. One of the biggest problems we face is we don't engage that testimony. We take it and we walk out of church. And it becomes a dead thing. It passes through us the way it should do. I don't want communion to pass through me. I want it to become part of me. And so instead of just taking it, I brood over it, I decree into it, I speak into it, and as it goes into my body, I take my spirit and I brood over the record that my spirit would come into resonance with the truth that I am going to live forever, that in this body is a different thing that I can grow into and become, and that record's been given to me in communion, and so I brood over it because I want the life to come into my body. You've got a tabernacle over the presence of God inside of you. Jesus gave us a record of what we can do with it. It says, whosoever eats my flesh, whosoever eats my flesh, so I'm just getting my mouth back in the gear here, and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I will raise him up in the last day. If you eat the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. That means you are going to live forever. Praise God. Some of you believe it. You're going to live forever. You won't necessarily look like you do now. Praise God. I know. Look, He made me. Hallelujah. Through the mold way. Praise God. Don't want anybody else looking like me. Everybody get bored. Just so good looking. No. I'll crucify that, Father. I just nail it to the cross. You see, but God has given us the capacity to live in a different form forever. The remembrance of what He gave us is stored in the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will live forever. And in you, you have eternal life, which means the power to manifest that eternal life is current inside my body, which means I can express it and become that today. Now. Today. Not tomorrow, not when I'm in the grave and dead and my bones are eaten by worms. Not then, today. Means I can't decay today. Oh, there's a bit of poetry there. Hallelujah. It means that inside of us, in the record that Jesus gave us, He has given us the capacity to never, ever decay again. but actually to begin to revert the decaying process. To tell you, what do you think happened to Sarah? Anyone here 99? Anyone here 88? Anyone here 80? Anyone here 70 and above? Oh, one person. Praise God. Can you imagine? I mean, I don't know what your name is, sister on the red there. Can you imagine being so beautiful that a king with a harem of so many women takes one look at you and goes, that is the best looking woman I've ever seen in my life. I want her as my wife. At 100. Look, what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to give you, we're after something here. What I'm after is eternal life here on the face of the earth, living in the fullness of the manifestation of the kingdom here in my life today, able to reveal that and show the world and say, I am a son of God. I have eternal life dwelling in me. Why? Because I've partaken of the eternal life, and his name is Jesus. I mean, I don't know about you, but I can't imagine having anything better in my life than being able to display the kingdom realm and people having a witness and a testify in my body that I'm now carrying resurrection life. I can't imagine anything better. Blow the miracles. I mean, they're fantastic. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that they're bad. And they're good and they're wonderful and they do all those amazing things. But I want more. That's why I don't pray for people all the time. Because, man, that's old stuff. I want the new stuff. I want the new stuff that he's given me the capacity to have today. Now I'm starting to get excited. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me, and I in him. Wow. We used to have this Canadian guy that came and stayed with us, Sammy Robinson. He stayed with us for about, I don't know, 3 months. It's Charlie Robinson's son, if you don't know them. Well, anyway, we're good friends with them. And so he came and stayed with us. But he had this thing going, wow. And it was kind of loud. And we can't quite do that in New Zealand, but whatever. And so I just thought I'd throw that in there for you. And so what we have here is Jesus saying this. If you eat this and drink this, I'm living in you, and not only am I living in you, but you living in me. I don't know whether you ever read John 17, where Jesus makes this little tirade that says, I and the Father are one, and I'm the Father, and therefore you and me, and you and I are one, and therefore you and the Father. And he goes on about all this I want stuff. And so if I'm living in Jesus, then I ask this question, am I omnipresent? Am I omniscient and am I omnipotent? So what's my problem in the world today with the demonic world? Because if you understand who you are in him, you can be where he is at any given time. Ding, ding. It means where he is, I am. That's when the Father met Moses. Now, when you actually read that scripture, it says that God spoke to Moses first before Moses turned aside. Moses didn't hear him speak for the first because he was so busy doing his own thing. Why he turned aside was because he saw a bush burning. And the bush didn't get consumed because it does happen naturally in Israel. There's a bush that has camphor around it and gets a certain temperature and it will ignite. But the bush burns to nothing. It says in the Bible that Moses was fascinated by the sight because the bush did not burn. When he turned aside to look at that sight, God said again, Moses, we are supposed to be the burning bushes. We are supposed to be those people glowing so that the world goes, oh, we'll go and see this wondrous sight. Who is this God that I see in you? Why is your face moving? Lion, eagle, ox, man. I mean, what are they going to do in the courtrooms and the earth when you stand inside and you meta and you morphosize into a lion, then an ox, then an eagle, and then a man, and a lion, an ox, an eagle, and a man? I mean, what are they going to do? Especially when you walk through the pulpit or you walk through the barrier. Excuse me, sir, can I pray for you, please? Walk through the crowd of people to the guy at the back of the thing manifesting. Walk right through people. Excuse me, I'm just going to him. Jesus did it. I already told you about that. Jesus has given us a record in communion that enables us to become part of who he is today, to live in what he is today, and to participate in what he's doing today. He's given us the record that we will be able to understand and engage the reality of what he has given us in his body and his blood. And let me tell you, it's not just remembering his death. That is a good thing. Don't ever lose it. But hey, don't get stuck there. There is a deeper revelation that he's wanting to give us, that if you eat this and you have that record and you drink this and you have that DNA, then that record of the DNA is going to join together, because you always need two arcs, two points to create an arc. That's why they built the box out of pure gold, the best conductor of electricity that there is known to man. With eagle's wings, or sorry, eagles, with the cherubim wings like the seraph wings like that. Why? Because in the box, that monatomic elemental gold, the showbread, they had the authority, the manner of the Aaron's rod that budded. They had the tablets, the power of the manifestation of God. The priest would get his little thing and go inside that thick curtain and stick his arm through and, you know, swing that thing inside there, hoping that there'll be enough incense inside there. So when he went inside, he spoke the name of God, the ark formed, which isn't the ark as an ARK, but as an ARC, a fissure between two points. That through that fissure, the glory would come and sit down on the mercy seat. They got the pattern for fluorolites from that. The two points, put some current through it, put some gas inside it, and then make it spark. And you get this arc that goes between two things. We call it light. And so what God has given us is two points. The body and the blood. Two points to create an arc of reality into the supernatural world, that when I engage them, that arc becomes my name in heaven. He says he's going to give us a new name. Your new name is found in the body and the blood. That's the only way you'll get it. Because you get changed into his image, and then you get a new name because you're in his image. No longer bearing the name of your father on the earth, but your father in heaven. And let me tell you, when you brood over that stuff and you understand that I've got the body and the blood sitting in my body and you are a spirit being and you begin to speak to it with your spirit man, your spirit man will begin to act with the light of the glory of his presence between those two things, and then the reality of who you are on the inside will begin to manifest on the outside and change your soul and your body. And all we do once a month is go, lovely, put it down. That was fancy tasting grape juice. That was a bit sour. Ooh, that was a bit strong. But this is a religious system that we've been so ingrained with and so locked in that it locks us up in unbelief, and we actually don't believe what the word says, which is that I'm going to live forever because I take that stuff. And so today, we are going to have communion together. What we're going to do as well is we're going to take them. I spoke about taking up an offering today. And if you don't have any money, that's okay. It's not about giving money. It's about actually you sowing into something that you believe. What we're going to do is I want us to, you know, we've talked about trading on a sea of glass. What I want us to do is I want us to take communion And when you take communion, when you come up and collect the symbols for communion, I want you just to put, we'll have a plate or a towel on the floor there. I want you just to put your offering on the floor, on the towel. I want you to take communion and come back. We're going to take communion together. And then we're going to take your offering and we're going to present it before the Lord as a fragrance for your system and your belief in what you've done here today. You know, God is really amazing, and there's oftentimes he'll be doing things, and he'll often say to people, you know, here's a gift, and no one ever comes up, and he kind of goes around to somebody, here's a gift. Very good. There's a gift. Because you didn't reach out for it, she's got 50 bucks richer. But see, this is the problem with us. When a truth comes and God comes around and says, here's a gift, we'll go. Is that for me? I mean, Joshua, if you know, he would have been in the first shot. It's very sneaky when I've written my hand like this, so you look at my hand and watch me take it out of my pocket. And so it's amazing you got that. Hallelujah. Of all people. See, you've got to believe that when God says to you, here is a gift, you've got to reach out by faith, lay hold of it. I don't have any more in here, sorry. Gold, diamonds. I have had a diamond come out of my hand, but you know, hallelujah, Father. You see, you've got to understand that when God reaches out and says to you, here is a gift, you have got to run towards it, embrace the truth of it, believe that you're receiving from Him, and you will receive it. We've got to engage it in reality. And don't believe that when, see, our problem is this, we don't believe God's going to give us good things. That's why as me as a preacher comes and say, here's a gift, you're all looking at me like I'm crazy, because you think I've got nothing in my hand. But see, that's just an example of how we often respond to the Word. Because we actually want to believe, but we don't quite really believe because no one's ever told us before. And is it really real? And if it's real, well, maybe if someone has faith enough, they'll reach out and grab it. And then you get the gift. I'm trying to generate in you the desire to actually receive from the presence of God today. Because He's saying to you, here is my body. Here is my blood. Here is the gift of my new name to you. Are you going to receive it today? Don't know about you, but I want to. Amen? So if we could just have the people who set the communion up for us, can we just have it put down here in the middle for us? That would be wonderful. And that would be great. Just put it there. What would be really nice is if we can just come around in a circular motion. If you come past here, take your communion. Just put your offering on the table. And remember, I don't care if you say 10 cents. That's immaterial to me. But if you don't have any coin on you or any change or any money, I just want you to borrow something. Beg, but don't steal. Borrow something from somebody. And because I want you all to be part of what we're doing today.
Just make it out to cash.
Okay.
Is that all right? If you're writing out a check, just put cash or Ian Clayton.
Okay. Awesome. So what I would love you to do today is I want you to sow into believing that what I'm receiving today is a mandate from God to receive out of heaven. That when we lift your offering before the presence of the Lord and we begin to trade with it, as you begin to brood over what is inside of you, that your offering and your desire will become a smelling fragrance before the Lord today. And so let's just come through and just come around and take communion here. What I would like you to do when you do come here is just take a piece of the bread from here. I want you to take it, dip it in the wine or the grape juice or whatever it is, we don't know, whatever. Take a hanky with you and put it underneath it so you don't have a nice layer of red wine going all over the floor, and go and sit in your seat. Please don't take it until we've all got one. That would be great. If you just want to start, they just come from this end. Start around, just walk your way around. That'll be great. Welcome to come up. Hallelujah, Father. Shate te baku shi si yande. Hallelujah, Father. Let's put that other loaf over this side here so we can walk on both sides. That would be cool. Just make two lines. That would be awesome. I'd like you to stand on your feet. I want you to close your eyes. There's no need for any eye to be open now. Father, today we acknowledge that we hold in our hand the record of eternal life. Father, we acknowledge today that we hold in our hand the record of the DNA that would change us and give us a resonance of something different than what we've been born into. Jesus, I want to thank you that you came and you died to give us that record. The reason you came to earth, Lord, was to give us a record of what we could become. Father, today as we hold this record in our hands, Father, we extend our spirit man over it and we brood over it today and we draw upon the potential possibility of what you gave us in the spoken word and decreed and written word. That, Father, he who eats and drinks this, Father, would live forever. That he who eats and drinks this would have eternal life. Father, your word says very clearly that we would live forever if we eat this. And Lord, today we speak the living word as a creative power into the symbols we hold in our hands. That the life out of heaven that you promised would come and become ours if we ate and drunk would begin to form on the very essence of this stuff we bread and grape juice we hold in our hand today. Father, requires faith to believe that something so simple could be something yet so powerful. Yet, Father, today we choose to come into agreement with your word where you said that if we ate this and drunk this, that you would give us that power to eternal life. Father, today as your children, we stand in the spirit before the courtrooms of God and acknowledge that this is why Jesus died, to redeem us back to what we should have been before the fall, to create in us the capacity to become who we were mandated to be before the foundations of the worlds. Father, today we speak into these symbols and we release the life. We brood over them as you did in Genesis when you brooded over the face of the deep. Father, today we brood over this, these symbols, and we speak into them in the name of Jesus, the life that you promised from your word. We stand on that life today. Father, we just lift these symbols into your presence, into the glory, into the realm of who you are and the kingdom. And we lift it and decree that life would flow into it today. I want you just to eat today. Hallelujah. What I want you to do now is, as the bread goes into your stomach, I want you to take your spirit, and I want you to begin to brood over it as I pray. What I mean by that is desiring the life that Jesus gave us in this thing to flow into my body. Father, today we decree to this life that is now within my stomach, within my natural body. Father, I bring my spirit and I engage the life of your kingdom that is in your body, in your blood. Father, today I engage the resonance and the truth that there is eternal life now inside my body. I engage the potential reality that I will live forever, that the record that you have given me that now lives in my body, that would begin to change my body. Father, I draw
on the presence of your glory, the ability to change and transform me into what I should have been before the fall. Father, I draw on that record today. I draw on the potential of the reality through faith that you spoke, that when I eat this, I would live forever. Lord, I draw on the blood, the power of that blood, the record of the DNA that would change my DNA, that would change the record in my own blood. I brood over it and I call forth that DNA to become one with my blood, like an amoeba, going into my blood, changing my blood cells, consuming and changing in the nature of what I am and making me into something different. Father, we brood over it today. And we decree like Mary did, be it unto me, Lord, as you desire. Be it unto me as you desire. Be it unto me as you desire. Could I have your pastor in here? Could I just have you down the front? I want us to lift this offering before the Lord. I just want you, if you're a pastor, can you just come down and join us down here? Will you take this side, my brother? If you're a pastor, just come down the front. Just come down the front. I just want you to join with us today. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, Lord. If you're involved in a ministry, I want you to come up the front as well and just gather around us. Holy Spirit. Shate makusi ititia kushake. Shianema sutu. Father, today we stand as a representative of your body. Father, we bring this offering. Father, as we've sown, so today we sow onto the sea of glass. Father, we cast this offering as an offering of the fragrance of the life of these people, and we trade this life. Father, we trade this life for the resurrection life that is in the blood and body of your Son. Father, we trade this as a fragrance. Father, as a teruma of which you've given us, what we've sown in. Father, today we take this and we present it on the sea of glass. Lord, we ask that your fire would come upon it, that you would purchase for us from this offering the resurrection in our nation. Father, it would come a relief and a release of the glory of God. Father, from this offering of your word decreed that we will live forever into our nation. Father, we ask that you would give us the destiny of the sons of God. Father, start with us. Father, start with us. Lord, start with us. Lord, start with us. Father, we pray today for the martyrs, for those that have had blood shed for the sake of the gospel in our nation, for those that have died in the cause of the gospel in the early years, we trade with their blood today. We mix this offering with their blood. We cry, Father, how long before we see the sons of God manifested? How long before we see them revealed on the face of the earth? Father, we ask that you would start with us. Father, start with us. Start with us, Lord. Let it be according to your desire. Lord, let it be revealed in us and through us. Lord, to change the world that is around us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah, Father. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. It's so awesome to see so many ministers of the gospel here. It's fantastic. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, it's kind of coming to the end of our conference time now, and there's just a number of people that I really want to thank, and I know most of them probably won't be in your, some of them will be, but first of all, the serving team that you folks have put together. If you're in here, I just want you to stand. If you've been involved in some sort of service over the weekend, could you just stand, please? Just stand where you are. If you've been involved, just stand up. Hallelujah.
Yeah. I really want to thank you. You can grab a seat here. I really want to thank you personally for the labor of your love to put in a conference like this. I know what it takes. We do them at home. I know the hours of planning and all that stuff that goes in, and your willingness to serve these two is just awesome. And I want to commend you before the Lord for that. Our sound man. Hallelujah. I think one of the most thankless jobs sometimes, because everyone demands things and sometimes you can't deliver. And I really want to thank you for your cooperation and your willingness when there weren't things you even planned for, and the way you've incorporated those. It's really been an honor to have you serving with us over the weekend. It's just been great. Thank you very much. For our cameraman, yeah. For our cameraman that's been taking the movies of the conference, I hope that you'll bless him by buying some of the CDs and just do whatever's necessary there. I really want to thank you for coming down. I hope it's blown your brain box and kind of changed your life. When we were in South Africa, we were at the African National Congress over there, and we had a camera crew that came and they weren't saved. Needless to say, by the time they were into the Congress, which was 4 days later, they were all saved. So it's a good thing, you know, hallelujah. Because you kind of get them captive and they have to look at you. They have to watch you with a camera. And so when they do that long enough, things will change inside of them, because revelation will come, because they look, whatever you look upon, you can have, and you become the thing like you look upon. So it's all good. Joe and the worship team, I want to thank you guys. You want to just stand up? Yes, go. Come on, stand up. Carl, where's our sax player? Hallelujah. Paul, our sax player. Jess on the drums, Joe worship, Carl, thank you very much, you guys. I also want to thank you for coming, because actually you take a chance when you come to somebody crazy to learn from somebody crazy to become crazy like him. And it's good. I now know that I'm in good company. And I know that eventually, if I don't see you here or there, I'll see you in the air. And I'm looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward to the day when we can come together in some of the arenas of the kingdom that God wants us to walk in and actually begin to engage in that arena and be who we are in that arena, and then together come and manifest in this earth what we've been talking about there. And I'm looking forward to that day. The realm of the courts of heaven have been very empty, but they're starting to have movement in them, which makes me very excited for the future. And so I really want to thank you for coming. I want to thank this church as well for opening their building to us and enabling us to come in and use it. Again, I know that sometimes it's really hard to do this, but if you're in here tonight or wherever you are, really want to thank you for doing that. And so it's been a pleasure to be here. Yep, and I'd like to hand it over to you here now, because I've now finished my spiel.